With your adorable host, Vinny Paulino.
Downright lovable.
Your moderately tolerable co-host, Brian Ball.
Adorable?
Hardly.
And I am your violent yet doughy producer, Nick Levasseur. And today we've got Thea Vidal. Let's send it over to your host, Mr. Vinny Paulino.
Your threats of violence affect us not.
He's always threatening us with violence, this kid. Always.
And we just giggle and run away.
Let me turn this music down, baby. Welcome to the Comedy at the Carlson cast. So many good things happening this week, Brian. So many good things.
There are.
Well, first off, we're here for another episode. We have a woman who is no stranger to the comedy business, Thea Vidal, coming in. So we're excited about that.
Yes.
We'll clap for her, because if we can't clap for our guests, who will?
The audience.
I think lots of evidence includes
people that have seen them previously.
All right. Well, I stand corrected. Either way, I'm just saying, we're excited to have her in. She, she debuted, her big comedy break was on the Rodney's Place, opening of Rodney's Place special for HBO.
Hot dog.
We're going to talk about Rodney. We're going to talk about a lot of interesting stuff. I'll talk a little bit about Mama Benjamin in the WWE.
Which was great.
We have quite the list of accomplishments to discuss with Miss Thea.
Yes.
So I can't wait to have her in here in a little bit. Thank you, most importantly, for tuning in to the show, whether you're watching us on Facebook Live or on YouTube. Those of you who are listening on iTunes, Spotify, and Google Play, we love you too. We love
you. Kiss says.
And I also have to take a second and announce that we are now available in a new place, Brian.
Where's that?
What is that, Vinny?
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to make sure it's queued up on my computer properly so that I don't look like a fool. Hey, Nick.
Bam!
There we go.
Now available on Laughable.
That's it, baby.
Hot dog.
Oh, that's how you pronounce that?
Yes.
I thought it was Laughable.
You...
Laugh able. Are you able to laugh? If you are, you'll enjoy Laughable. Now, what is it? You're probably wondering.
It's an app.
Tell us, Vinny.
It's an app. It's a very ingenious app. If you're a stand-up comedy fan in particular, you will love this. If you are listening to podcasts all the time and you're looking for new and interesting ones, this is so cool because you could type in the name of like your favorite performers, like Vinny Paulino.
And no one's typed that in yet.
I did. A couple times. Still nothing.
One person is
still nothing. But no, you could type in Thea Vidal, or you type in Ryan Hamilton, our guest last week, and every podcast, comedy podcast that he's appeared on or she's appeared on will pop up.
It's like magic.
It's really
sorcery.
Cool. It's very, very cool.
And it is a very easy to use app.
And if you're a fan of comedy, like I said, you can connect and see different appearances and different things that your comedians that you enjoy have done. So we think it's pretty cool. We're excited to be a part of it. So thank you, Laughable. At the moment, it's only available in the iOS Apple Store or whatever. And
it's the only one that matters.
No, there's a Google Play Store. We have a ton of Google Play subscribers.
Yeah. Ow.
Yeah.
Android representing.
Hey, yo!
I'm kidding. I got an iPhone.
you said that if you're a fan of stand-up comedy that you'll really enjoy the app. What if you're not a fan of stand-up comedy?
You wouldn't be watching the show.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
So I don't care about you.
Maybe
I have to keep going.
Maybe
down
you'll
that
enjoy our sponsors if you don't like the comedy.
Hey.
I wasn't ready for our sponsors yet.
Yeah, Brian. Shut the hell up, Brian.
You freaking idiot. You mess everything up.
God damn it, Brian.
I meant sponsors in general.
I hate this guy.
Yeah.
Why do you ruin everything I love?
He makes me so mad.
Because it's my purpose in life.
It's like he doesn't think about anything.
No, it's all about Brian.
Yet,
and
3X
and 49 smoke whiskey.
Still,
it's because we're afraid of you when you drink. I have to talk about another thing we're doing here at Comedy at the Carlson.
Big deal.
This is a really big one. This is a cool announcement.
It's very unique.
Well, yeah, I'm a genius sometimes. I will take credit for this idea.
I retract my previous statement. I'll take all the credit for this idea.
So here's what it is, folks. We are doing another contest. No, it's just not another typical stand-up comedy contest.
It's a kissing contest. Yeah.
Give me them lips. We're going to kiss you. And I'm going to win. That's not how it works. No. It's called Showmageddon. Show them on the computer.
Boom,
baby. Oh, it's exciting. You could tell from the lightning bolts and the explosion,
and
the nuclear blast. Showmageddon 2018. Here's what's happening, baby. It is a stand-up showcase showdown, and what we are about is finding new and interesting quality, fun, different stand-up showcases.
Yes.
So we don't want the same 10 comics each doing 5 minutes. We don't want that. We want to do something new and unique.
Yeah.
Like, Nick, how many classic ideas have you had for showcases?
Well, so I pitched, it's like a regular comedy showcase, except it's also like American Gladiators, so people are fighting with big Q-tips while they're trying to tell shitty jokes about their penises.
Yeah, pugil sticks. That would be a very interesting.
You know what
thing
they're fucking called?
Yeah.
Oh my god. Yes, pugil sticks.
I know a guy who's got a bow staff.
I was
bring.
In the military. The bow staff. Oh my god.
Hey. Okay, little too inside baseball for the crowd. Little too inside baseball for the crowd. But what we're doing is we're encouraging you. We are encouraging you to apply. If you have a new interesting show idea and you want to have it featured here at Comedy at the Carlson, we are giving away 4 Saturday night spots. Prime
that's,
time.
That's pretty kooky.
Saturday
prime
night spots
time.
In the Rickles Room. That's right, King. Prime time. It's going to be incredible. And each of these shows, the crowd is going to get a questionnaire when they buy their ticket. We're going to have some judges that are not going to talk. They're just going to watch the show. Mm-hmm. We're going to judge by attendance, people's satisfaction, and the judges' scores. And what's going to happen is the winner, the highest ranking of these 4 showcases, is going to get their own quarterly showcase in the Rickles Room. How about that?
Wow. What?
Has anyone pitched a show idea yet where the water level is slowly rising throughout the show?
No, but I will like it.
Give you a sense of urgency to
yes.
hurry up and get your time done.
You don't want to laugh because you're losing
there's
oxygen.
A laser
that's a terrible
slowly
idea.
Slowly about to cut the comic in half.
I just I love this idea, and I'm really lasers. Excited to see what people come up with for this. So you could send your submissions to I speak properly. I swear to you, people. I don't know what's wrong
it's
with me
today. Early in the morning.
It's not enough coffee today Damn. For me, really. We want you to send your submissions to carlsoncast@gmail.com. What we need to know is a name for your showcase, a description, and how you plan on marketing it, how you plan on getting it out there to people. So keep an eye out for that. We're going to give you updates, and we are going to pick our top 4 showcases, and they are going to be hitting it up in the Rickles Room the Saturday nights in October all the way through.
One last pitch.
Yeah.
Justin Brown, Jesse Winterhalter, we both get them blackout drunk and they just scream at each other until one of them passes out.
So Tuesday.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not into that.
Okay, fair
I'm
enough.
I'm not into that. Bitcoin! My wife hates me! Oh, God, I got time for that, please.
But, I forgot to mention, we also have been sneaking them MDMA, so their heart rate just gets faster and faster throughout the whole thing.
Oh, so there's a chance of someone's actual chest cavity opening.
Uh-huh. Probably all right. Jesse's.
Well,
get your sandwich board and start promoting it.
Why don't you put together a promo video on it and we'll talk.
Yeah.
So, Showmageddon 18, baby.
Boom.
Show us what you've got, huh?
Show
huh?
us.
Yeah.
Huh? It's a pun?
Is that a reference? I don't get it.
Showmageddon, show us. Show.
I don't know.
You dicks. All right. Let's talk about the good stuff, shall we? How about Sapori Cafe and Catering?
Put it in me. Trying something new. Didn't like it.
You know what? Give me a classic.
Put it in me.
See, that's why he doesn't want to do it anywhere. He tried to send me a workers' comp thing. I'm like, you technically aren't employed. We don't pay you.
No.
You get nothing. Stop hurting yourself, idiot.
We hurt him because we love him.
Sapori Cafe Catering at Sapori Rochester. You can find them on Facebook and Instagram. You go there for lunch in the Powers Building Atrium, or you could have them cater your very own special
so
event.
So they have wings now.
They do have wings now.
What?
And let me tell you something.
What?
I can't get my stuff to work today. Wow.
That's what she said.
I'm telling you, I'm a problem this afternoon. I'm trying to...
Is it your greasy fingertips?
It just might be. Sapori Cafe Catering. Let's finish this up.
There we go.
Greater Rochester's finest all events catering, providing professional service, gourmet cuisine on your next celebration. Contact them. Find them on Facebook. There's Chef Joe's number. I wouldn't prank call him if I were you. admin@SaporiRochester.com for an email. And Sapori-Rochester.com for information on that. And I've heard today's special is garbage plate wraps.
What? That's obscene.
Garbage wrap?
A garbage plate wrap, baby. Let's talk about Three Heads Brewing.
Let's talk about
our other fantastic sponsor. My man Eli Flynn has been playing there on Thursday nights throughout July and killing it. Every Thursday night, they have an artist in residency doing all sorts of specialty cool shows. So check out Three Heads Brewing on Facebook to find information on that. And if you're thirsty and you're coming to Comedy at the Carlson, you might just ask what we have on tap from Three Heads, because there's always something delicious. Also available at Wegmans or wherever fine beers are sold, threeheadsbrewing.com. And last but not least...
You're so greasy!
It's the one thing. Yeah. It's the one thing that gets Brian Ball through his days. Applewood Smoked Whiskey. Well, from the good folks at IronSmokeWhiskey.com.
He's got those shakes so bad.
Not the love of my children.
It's not the love of his children's shakes. It's the liquor shakes. Handcrafted in upstate New York, available in two flavors. Like we said, Applewood Smoked Whiskey and Rattlesnake Rosie's Apple Pie Whiskey. Iron Smoke Whiskey, baby. You could also go out to their tasting room located in Fairport, New York, and have all sorts of delicious signature cocktails. Nick, back to me, baby.
Stop saying baby so much. It's weird. I don't like it. You said I've been
I'm calling you baby all day because you're wearing a My Little Pony t-shirt.
So what?
Sorry, sweet tits. We won't call you baby anymore.
Thank you, Brian.
From the man who proposed the kissing contest, I'm the one who's making people uncomfortable today. Yeah. That's great.
What?
That's good. I'm the problem. Uh-huh. We're going to be back in just a few minutes with our good friend, our soon-to-be good friend, Thea Vidal. I hope so.
Predicting the future.
I really want to be Thea Vidal's friend. She's been there for everything that's happened in comedy. She really has.
Yeah.
Since the 80s boom. So I'm excited. Here she comes, Thea Vidal, after these words about who's coming to visit us at Comedy at the Carlson soon. I guess hit the upcoming promo, Nick, and let's do this thing.
Fine.
You've missed out on our awesome summer schedule. We're closing it out hot this year. Coming up next week, we have Greg Fitzsimmons, August 3rd and 4th. Rich Voss, we apologize in advance, August 19th, 9th and 11th. Jimmy Walker, August 16th through the 18th. You're not going to get me to say Dynamite. Marlon Wayans, August 23rd through 25th. We got Robert Powell III, August 30th through September 1st. Gary Gulman, September 6th through the 8th. Gilbert Godfrey, back by popular demand, September 14th and 15th. Jeremy Piven, September 21st and 22nd. And folks, you get your tickets now. They're on sale. All you got to do is get on your computer and type in carlsoncomedy.com or pick up your phone and call 585-4-COMEDY, and you could be at one of these amazing shows. Do it. Hey, everybody, don't forget to watch us live Friday mornings on Facebook Live and YouTube. And if you wouldn't mind, give us a follow on Twitter and Instagram at CarlsonCast. If you just want to listen to the show, you can check us out on iTunes, Google Play, and Spotify. And you might want to check out this little neat app that just came out. You might have heard of it. It's called Laughable. It's pretty incredible. If you haven't seen it yet, it's a great way to connect you and your favorite comedians. And if you forgot everything I just said, visit us at carlsoncast.com. And we are back, ladies and gentlemen. We are very excited to welcome into the studio, ladies and gentlemen, Houston, Texas's own Chocolate Kiss. There she is. Thea Vidal, everybody.
I cannot believe you found it.
What do you mean I can't? What do you mean that I found that?
I mean, the internet tells too much of your business. I haven't been called Houston's Chocolate Kiss in a long time, but that's what I used to go by.
Well, I'll tell you how I saw it, very simply, on the 1989 Rodney special, Rodney's Place opening. That's how Rodney brought you on stage.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. I think it's great.
And you know what? If it wasn't for Rodney, I don't know what. It probably would have taken me longer to get where I got.
Because
Rodney, he opened doors for me that I didn't even, you know, I'm not realizing everything. I'm not digesting it. And I'm not receiving it the way most people would. I'm just like doodly, doodly, doodly,
just
doodly.
Out of yeah. Just sheer, like, ignorance.
I'm getting to do it. I'm looking in like that. I did his sitcom pilot, and I was like, cool, I get to do a sitcom pilot. You know, I didn't, my ego didn't kick in. It didn't realize how great this opportunity was. I was, my mindset was be humble, be humble, be humble. And other Tim and them's, Alan and Jeff Foxworthy and them, their attitude was kiss his ass, kiss his ass, kiss his ass. And I remember us going to Bally's to see him perform, and they were laughing and like almost mocking and saying, how much time do you think he can do? Greg Travis and Uncle Lair and what was Rick's last name? I can't think of it, but it'll come to me. And they were just, you know, John Fox. All of them was just kind of, you know, making fun. Like, how long do you think he can do? And all that.
In terms of stage time.
And I thought to myself, you know what? I know one thing. He's given us an opportunity. We didn't have no opportunity to give him.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
And I told him, I said, and if y'all gonna kiss his ass like this, then I can stay my fucking ass at home, cause in this hotel, cause y'all are ridiculous. The way they kissed his ass was so ridiculous. Rodero, that was Tim Allen. Rodero, you know, and just
he called Rodney Dangerfield Rodero.
Like he was just being like an ass kisser, and it's just like that's not my lick. That's not what I do. I don't kiss ass.
And I would assume with a guy like Rodney Dangerfield, kissing ass is probably his least favorite thing. It was one of his least favorite things. Or did he really enjoy it?
I think he, when they were, you know, blowing smoke up his ass, I wasn't. And he came to me and he said, how do you think the show went? I said, Rodney, let me tell you something. Not Rodney. You didn't even say nothing. You stepped on the stage and they stood up and lost their mind. I said, then after you finished saying what the hell you said, they stood up and lost their mind some more. I said, you know what, Rodney? You know you're great. You know you're a legend. And let me tell you something. I ain't going to be like the rest of them. I can't kiss your ass now because my car no do. I can't do all of that. I never was. And then one thing Rodney always said to me, he said, you are so fucking down. You're so fucking down. That's what I like about you, and I've always been down, just honest. As if I don't trust you, and that's a funny thing about me.
Yeah.
If I don't trust you, I'll do things to avoid you and avert you away from me.
Because I've been trying to do that for a long time, but yet he's still my co-host.
Yeah.
And
he
still
keeps showing up. You know you love him.
Yeah.
There's some people that you that are your friends that you can't get rid of because y'all just too much.
We
y'all like a marriage.
Yeah,
it's,
we know.
I hate your ass. I hate you too. You're coming to work tomorrow, right? Okay. Yeah. You know what? I mean, I had a friend named Bo, and he was an ass, but he was a genius. He was in Mensa, and we would argue back and forth. And sometimes when we watch one of those old stations that played those old TV shows like Perry Mason, we would bicker back and forth about who Perry was fucking. Was he fucking? He was fucking Drake. You know what I'm saying? He was his private detective. Della was his fag hag. You know? We would do shit like that. We would argue fiercely.
What was that dude's name? Raymond Burr?
Raymond Burr was a... He was very gay.
Yeah, that's a story.
And very rich. Yeah. And he had a lover of many, many years, just like Johnny Mathis. Johnny Mathis is very, very gay.
We're learning something today.
And very, very handsome.
I had not heard of Johnny Mathis, though.
And he's got a lover. He's been with 45 years, I believe.
My great-grandma.
Mom, don't believe her. No, I'm just kidding.
My great-grandma would be very upset if she hadn't been dead for 20
years. Know, your great-grandma believed Liberace was straight.
Oh,
shut
she did.
Up.
Yeah, she did. She had
and
lots
she
of Liberace
was crazy
albums,
as hell, too. Yeah. I would have shook the shit out of her and say, look here. Look here. Do she you see any pussy hanging around him? The answer to this question and many more is no. He ain't even got no girlfriend. No, he was definitely Liberace.
I took a picture with the lady once.
That's all he did was take pictures with ladies. Yeah. He wasn't with no, you know, kissing them in the mouth and stuff. And those old ladies, they really loved him. They just thought that he was the best thing because he had dresses just like them, and they just...
Well, that's what you want, a man you can borrow things
and
from.
It's just like all the jewelry and shiny and
simpler
glimmery.
Times. Yeah. Simpler times.
Rock Hudson.
When gay people just was quiet and stayed in the closet and didn't fuck with nobody. And,
and then they
came out. You know what, though? Let me tell you something. I'm glad they came out. They needed to come out. They needed to be themselves. It's hard to be in the closet. It's crowded. You got shoes and boots and stuff and all kind of coats and shit and hats. You come out the closet and be who the fuck you are and live your life, because it's hard. Look, I think about all the people at Richard Chamberlain. He waited till he's 70 years old to come out. Fuck it. Ain't nobody trying to fuck you in 71. Really? Quit it. No, that's not necessarily true. He was still good looking. But, I mean, what a waste of time.
Yeah.
What a waste of time. Because, you know, I've been black for a long time. And
really?
Yeah, I was Mexican last week. But it was hard. It was hard. Work. Hide. Work. Hide. Sneak the kids out the cage. Hide. You know, busy. The older you get, the more illuminating life can be.
Can we start at the beginning with you? I have a lot of questions.
Go ahead and ask.
I got a lot of questions.
Go ahead and ask.
All right.
I don't care.
Well, I want to know about the first time you ever decided to step on stage and how that even happened. Like, how did you decide that stand-up was something you ever even wanted to do?
Okay, let me tell you something. Okay, first of all, this is the part you got to get.
Okay, lay it on me.
I used to work in a restaurant in Pasadena, Texas. Now, Pasadena, Texas used to be called the Showdown, Sundown Town. Do you know what a Sundown Town is?
It's one of the ones where you stayed inside once the lights went down?
No.
No?
Vampires,
Pasadena,
yes.
Texas used to have a big billboard that said, "Nigga, don't let the sun go down on you in
Pasadena." That type of town.
Sundown.
Gotcha.
That kind of town. Well, they took the sign down after 60 Minutes exposed them.
Good. Progress.
You're silly ass. So anyway, my husband.
Oh, she just summed him up.
Got laid off, and there was a restaurant there that I had worked in as a teenager, Steak and Egg Kitchen.
Uh-huh.
And I would be the first black that ever worked there. But they had to give me that job because I had seniority in the company.
Interesting.
And so the white people were just overjoyed. They had parades. No. no, they didn't.
I assumed.
And
it took a national television show to get them to take the blatantly racist threatening sign down.
Yeah, you know, like, we going to hold on this shit. Anyway, because we sincere. And
this isn't heritage. We mean it.
So we get up, and they get acclimated to me some kind of way. They just get used to me after we goes on. Say, and I worked the 10 to 6 out shift, and I was everybody. I was the cook, the dishwasher, the waitress, the cashier, the bouncer. I was every motherfucking body. I was all of them. I'm like multiple personalities, and so. The next thing I know, 10 to 6, I used to call it the lynching hour because that's shit go wrong after 10. So anyway, but these two cops used to drive by all the time. And Higginbotham, and I can't think of the other guy's name. But anyway.
Higginbotham was the guy's name?
Yeah, Higginbotham. And wow. Which was a weird name to begin with. That's why I remember
the dude
that.
Who played piano at my wedding in Alabama. His name was something Higginbotham.
Yep, that's about right. So. Yeah. We get up there, and they just start to warm up to me. Because I talk shit to them. I don't give a damn. I said, y'all ain't going to kill me about no eggs. So anyway, I hope not anyway. So anyway, had a gun in my purse. Anyway, a bitch ain't taking a chance. I may go, but I ain't going by myself. So anyway, one day I was acting silly. And they said, "Miss Thea, you don't belong here." And I said, "What the hell are you trying to say?"
Because in that town, that could mean a myriad of things.
Yeah. Things, you know? And I think you were all probably also thinking, not a newsflash.
I know, right here, you know. So they said, no, no, you need to be at a comedy club. And I go, boy, I don't know what no comedy club is. Wow. They said, no, Miss Thea, really? And I said, I don't know where a comedy club is. And I just, I don't even know how to do that. And so a few days later, they took me to a comedy club. I stayed late. I changed shifts and worked 2 to 10. And they took me to a comedy club. And I went in there and I looked at it like, oh my God. And dude asked me, he said, are you going to get on stage? And I said, I don't know. I think about it. Maybe next week I'll do it. Next week I'll do it. And they said, you could get up now if you want to, Miss Thea. I go, no, I can't. I ain't got shit to say. I don't want to do it. And so the next week was my birthday.
Okay.
And I decided I would get on stage. Now, this whole week I'm in right now, what the fuck I want to say. And talking about what working at a steak and egg kitchen. And I got on stage on my birthday and looked at my friends. I looked down at them, these little country people. And I talked about my life at Steak and Egg Kitchen and my children. And I never looked at the audience. I just looked at them. And the whole audience was dying laughing. And I didn't even realize it. And the owner of the club, Danny Martinez, said, I want you to come back again. And I said, okay. And I realized that I had found my niche.
Yeah.
I found my niche. And I said, they said, how did you feel? I said, I felt like,
wow,
I was at home.
Yeah.
I was at home.
Those first laughs, they really get into your bloodstream, don't they?
It's like a drug. I mean,
it really is.
I ain't done a lot of drugs, and ain't no drug ever produced that kind of euphoria. Wow. Never. Yeah. Never. And it's like, as I've gotten older, I like being on stage because I can tell people exactly how I feel. And
because the older you get, the angrier you get.
The
and
more
you just,
angry
you can,
I get.
You can
and
let
I
it go.
And I'm, you know, I'm very hurt by what's going on in our country. I'm very hurt by it. But I tell people the truth. And you can get mad if you want to, but it's, you can't fight me about the truth. The truth is the fucking truth. You know what I'm saying?
If you're
up at 4 o'clock in the morning twittering and you married to a model, that's because she ain't fucking you, man. She ain't fucking you. If she'd suck your dick now and then, you wouldn't have time to be twittering.
It's just math.
It's just common sense. Damn. How dumb can you be? You up 3, 4 in the morning twittering and your wife asleep and you ain't nobody fucking you.
If I had his bank account, I'd be on Amazon.
I'm not lying. I would be doing some shit. And I ain't gonna lie. I'm like, Stormy, you feel like fucking? Because she don't want to give it up. She don't want to give it up. And imagine.
What's another 130 grand to a billionaire, right?
I met Stormy. I know Stormy Daniels. That's funny.
Do you really? You hosted the
AVN
Awards.
Oh, yeah.
You were the host of the AVN Awards.
Yeah.
You went from an act about the kitchen, the egg kitchen, steak and egg kitchen, to the AVN Awards.
Yeah, I just did a lot of shit real quick. Things happened in my career very, very fast, wasn't quite as prepared as I thought I was going to
be. You got the Rodney thing like 2 years after you started, right?
I got Rodney kind of sort of about then.
Yeah.
Okay, we need to backtrack here on that because that's a big little key component here. Rodney, that special, like you said, really did a lot and opened a lot of doors for you that you didn't even know existed. How did you meet the man? Where were you?
Okay,
how did
this
that
is
happen?
What happened. I had been working on the road very early in my career. Okay. I made regular the first year, and not even the first a week. I did open mic at the Comedy Store.
Okay.
Comedy Works in Houston. Comedy Store, the Menzels used to own it. And
it's where Dennison and everybody came from.
Yeah, all where Brett Butler, all of them came from. The Texas Outlaw Comics. Okay, so I made regular after I did a guest set. I just stayed regular, and they were just looking at me. And it was cute. I was like the lady with the four babies, and it was cute.
Yeah, you were, okay, you were, I wasn't unique, a threat. You were a unique voice at the
time.
I
was a unique voice. So then, but they were still mean to me. And
who was mean to you?
The men. Mostly the men.
Really?
Yeah, they were mean. They were really mean. Black men, white men, they was all mean.
They just didn't feel like women had a place in comedy, you think?
They didn't feel like I should be there. That's how I took it as a woman. I took it, but it was just be any woman that usurped them. And I didn't give a fuck about what they said. And I didn't bow down, and I didn't suck dick either.
And that probably pissed them off.
And I'm not doing none of that shit. But I will put a hole in you, though, motherfucker. I will put a hole in you. I fought men physically.
Mm-hmm.
I fought men.
I believe you.
But they didn't know that I had fought men before, that they thought that they were the first men I would fight. Oh, yeah, I'll bust you up. You keep fucking with me. I gave my husband a black eye. He sent me on to my mama with a note. You got the wrong one, bitch.
You know, Nick, please get Miss Thea anything she wants for the rest of the show. I want to make sure we stay safe.
This is why I stay behind the desk.
I'm just saying. I'm saying to you that men in the 80s thought that comedy was their domain, and no, the fuck, it wasn't. And it wasn't going to be while I was here. No, it wasn't. And I was going to do what I wanted to do and say what I wanted to say, how I wanted to say, well, you need to be clean. You need to kiss my ass.
This is fascinating to me. And you don't have to name names, but maybe can you tell me a specific something that happened that maybe will just kind of like sum up what it was like for you there?
Okay. I went to the comedy show, not the comedy showcase, the comedy store, right? And that's by Westheimer back in Houston. And I went there, and Sharon Menzel, who owns it, her and her husband, Paul, some of the black comics, they were men. Al Freeman was talking about me. And Rashawn McDonald, who happened to be Steve Harvey's manager a couple years ago, big millionaire now, egged him on to do it.
Now, be on stage, off stage?
Talk? On stage.
Oh, he was making jokes on stage.
So he's about me. Okay. Call me fat. Call me. And I was just like looking at Sharon like, let me get him. Let me get this fucker off me. And she's saying no. And he just keeps on, and people are laughing. And I said, get him. And he called me ugly. And she said, get him. Because I'm not ugly. I don't give a fuck what nobody say. I'm an attractive black woman. I may be big, but
you're
I'm attractive.
Gorgeous. Brian's and, ugly.
No, you got to do all that. I get dragged.
She said, hold on. So she said, get him. So it was my turn to go up on stage. And Al made the mistake of talking about me, but Al was a little ugly gnome. Al Freeman, he was an ugly little gnome, had tiny
Google
little ears, big ass nose.
I remember Al Freeman.
Big,
I don't
beady
remember
eyes.
Al Freeman.
He looked like a little fucking, I don't know, gremlin. And not the cute one either, the gizmo. So anyway.
He looks like an intellectual that's always wrong.
He looks, looks like a gremlin that ate after me.
It's just so the next thing, motherfucker, he gonna say that. So they introduced me and they sat on stage. Oh, baby. When I say I fucked him up, I fucked him up till I got tired. I kept talking about his ass. I talked about him. I said, you got a face only a mama could love, and she's lying. I said, bitch, when she had you, you's a wasted fuck. You know, I just went off. I said, look at you, got beady little eyes like a ratchy little fucking vermin. I talked about this motherfucker so bad that after I got off and I got all this applause, I went in the back. Toodly doodly doodly. So now,
doot doot doot.
Rashawn McDonald, he mad. I said, and his boyfriend, Rashawn. I talked about Rashawn on stage, too. It's like, and if, I said, look at them, two faggots sucking each other, sucking each other off.
I'm sure and in Houston, Texas, that was a big insult.
Yeah, that's a big insult. So,
in the 80s.
You better know it. But anyway, the next thing I know, Rashawn looking at me, talking about, what you looking at? I said, nothing, what you looking at? And that's when I wore that Tina Turner wig. Uh-huh. And he pushed me. Can you believe that? He pushed me. A grown man pushes a woman.
This is Steve Harvey's manager.
Yeah. So I pushed him back. So until he pushed me again, and I pushed him down on top of another man. I say, fuck with me and see. Then by chance, so he was so mad, he took my wig off and threw it in the rafters. I didn't give a fuck because my hair was slick back in a ponytail. My hair was good, and I had long hair then. So, fuck you, you took the wig. Oh, well. But your ass was on the ground, bitch, and I knocked you there. by fluke, I usually carry my gun in my briefcase.
Let's call it divine providence that you didn't have it at this point.
And I opened that briefcase, and I didn't have that gun. I said, God saved his life. He don't know it. I told him 2 months later, I said, God saved your life. Because usually I carry my gun, and I didn't have my briefcase that day. I was going to shoot you, because that's how I roll. I was going to kill you, or at least wound you. And he looked at me, and...
Are you comfortable? Do you want some more water? Can we get you anything at all? Like,
I'm just being honest with you. At that time,
would you like us to go hang your purse for a safe distance?
I was a battered wife and everything. I couldn't...
Would you like us to put your purse over there?
Yeah, maybe in the next room.
No, it's safe. I'm fine.
I know. We're just teasing
smoke.
You.
I'm not lying. Anyway, I would kill for a cigarette. But anyway, that's not the point. I had to fight these men. Flato. I had a gig to go to Corpus. No, San Antonio or Corpus. They canceled the gig. They canceled me and gave it to Mark Wilkes because they were going to do coke and play golf together. And he said he needed the gig. I said, I have 4 kids. I needed the gig. Yeah. The things that they would do, they think now that I've forgotten. I've never forgotten. And it's not that I'm holding on to bad juju, but women need to know this was not given to them. If Marshall Warfield, me, Shirley Hemphill, and Just June and Simply Marvelous were not here toiling, it wouldn't be no Tiffany Haddish.
True story.
Okay, yeah. Real talk. And motherfuckers, they snoot their nose up at you. I don't give a fuck, snoot your nose up. I don't give a fuck. I don't have a... Bravo. Get it. But don't forget for where it came from.
That's it.
Okay, it wasn't about 5 black female headliners in this business when I started. And to see some women act like they invented the wheel, motherfucker, no, you didn't. Before there was them, it was Moms Mabley. You better act like you know.
Yeah.
You better act like you know. It wasn't that many black female headliners.
Not at all.
And Moms Mabley, the white venues that she did do were far and few between. She worked the Chitlin Circuit. So when you see these young black females that are popular now, they came from us. They didn't come from themselves.
Sure.
And if you believe your own bullshit, then bravo, motherfucker. Believe it. But okay, I have always been myself. And that has gotten me in a lot of trouble.
You know, maybe it did, but maybe in a way, it's what moved you further down the line.
But then I never proceeded. Okay, and I was touring on the road, right?
Yeah.
And other comics would talk, you know, and kind of spread like wildfire that I existed. And then what happened was, I think Rick Messina or somebody asked me to send them a tape. And so I did, you know. Uh-huh. I had a bad managers. And be careful with that. If you're listening, be careful with that signing papers and shit. I don't sign shit now.
I think in this day and age, in such a do-it-yourself type society that we've built. These people who are con artist managers that were prevalent in the business in the 80s and the 90s, I think they're kind of
dwindling out.
Because it's really like,
you get found out too sweet if you're
especially
word travels way faster when everyone has a cell phone.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, there's a person I know right now is just like, you know, you two legs on a banana peel.
I had a guy try to sign me once. He went and saw me, and then he brought me out, and he wanted to talk to me about it. And we sat down and
leather vest cowboy hat.
Yeah. He showed up.
I remember.
He looked like Lemmy from Motorhead, but like really unemployed. And I didn't know him, and he was just like, I met him, and we sit down and we talk, and then he drove away in a rusty station wagon.
Talking about putting us on MTV the next week or whatever.
We're going to be on MTV next. I was like, okay.
He drives away in a rusty Cadillac.
Let's text everybody and let them know this guy is insane.
Yeah.
No, like, it's just like, you know, you have to remember, it's somebody has to have an in. You need a man that has an in.
Yeah.
Because nobody's going to let you in just because, you know. You have to work. That's why you need an agent or a manager so that they access you in. And at that time, when they said that they were looking for me, and Rodney Dangerfield wanted to talk to me, and my girlfriend called me.
Comedy at the Carlson Cast with your adorable host, Vinny Paulino.
Downright lovable.
Your moderately tolerable co-host, Brian Ball.
It's adorable?
Hardly.
Jesus.
And I am your violent yet doughy producer, Nick Levasseur. And today we've got Fia Vidal. Let's send it over to your host, Mr. Vinny Paulino.
Your threats of violence affect us not.
He's always threatening us with violence, this kid. Always.
And we just giggle and run away.
Let me turn this music down, baby. Welcome to the Comedy at the Carlson Cast. So many good things happening this week, Brian. So many good things.
There are.
Well, first off, we're here for another episode. We have a woman who is no stranger to the comedy business, Thea Vidal, coming in. So we're excited about that.
Yes.
We'll clap for her, because if we can't clap for our guests, who will?
The audience.
I think lots of evidence includes,
people
it indicates
that have seen,
lots of people
seen them previously.
All right. Well, I stand corrected. Either way, I'm just saying, we're excited to have her in. She, she debuted, her big comedy break was on the Rodney's Place, opening of Rodney's Place special for HBO.
Hot dog.
We're going to talk about Rodney. We're going to talk about a lot of interesting stuff. I'll talk a little bit about Mama Benjamin in the WWE.
Which was great.
We have quite the list of accomplishments to discuss with Miss Thea.
Yes.
So I can't wait to have her in here in a little bit. Thank you, most importantly, for tuning in to the show, whether you're watching us on Facebook Live or on YouTube. Those of you who are listening on iTunes, Spotify, and Google Play, we love you too. We love
you. Kisses.
And I also have to take a second and announce that we are now available in a new place, Brian.
Where's that?
What is that, Vinny?
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to make sure it's queued up on my computer properly so that I don't look like a fool. Hey, Nick, show the world.
Bam!
There we go.
Now available on Laughable.
That's it, baby.
That's how you pronounce that?
Yes.
I thought it was Laughable.
You...
Laugh able. Are you able to laugh? If you are, you'll enjoy Laughable. Now, what is it? You're probably wondering.
It's an app.
Tell us, Vinny.
It's an app. It's a very ingenious app. If you're a stand-up comedy fan in particular, you will love this. If you are listening to podcasts all the time and you're looking for new and interesting ones, this is so cool because you could type in the name of like your favorite performers, like Vinny Paulino.
And no one's typed that in yet.
I did. A couple times. Still nothing.
One person is
still nothing. you could type in Thea Vidal, or you type in Ryan Hamilton, our guest last week, and every podcast, comedy podcast that he's appeared on or she's appeared on will pop up.
It's like magic.
It's really
sorcery.
Cool. It's very, very cool.
And it is a very easy to use app.
And if you're a fan of comedy, like I said, you can connect and see, you know, different appearances and different things that comedians that you enjoy have done. So we think it's pretty cool. We're excited to be a part of it. So thank you, Laughable. At the moment, it's only available in the iOS Apple Store or whatever. And
it's the only one that matters.
No, there's a Google Play Store. We have a ton of Google Play subscribers.
Yeah. Ow.
Yeah.
Android representing.
Hey, yo!
Not, I'm kidding. I got an iPhone.
Well, watch. So real quick, you said that if you're a fan of stand-up comedy that you'll really enjoy the app. What if you're not a fan of stand-up comedy?
You wouldn't be watching the show.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
So I don't care about you.
Maybe you have to keep going. Maybe you'll enjoy our sponsors if you don't like the comedy.
Hey.
I wasn't ready for our sponsors yet.
Yeah, Brian. Shut the hell up, Brian.
You freaking idiot. You mess everything up.
God damn it, Brian.
I meant sponsors in general.
I hate this guy.
Yeah.
Why do you ruin everything I love?
He makes me so mad.
Because it's my purpose in life.
It's like he doesn't think about anything.
No, it's all about Brian.
Yet,
and
3X
and 49 Smoke Whiskey.
Still
it's because we're afraid of you when you drink. I have to talk about another thing we're doing here at Comedy at the Carlson.
Big deal.
This is a really big one. This is a cool announcement.
It's very unique.
Well, yeah, I'm a genius sometimes. I will take credit for this idea.
I retract my previous statement. I'll take all the credit for this idea.
So here's what it is, folks. We are doing another contest. No, it's just not another typical stand-up comedy contest.
It's a kissing contest. Yeah.
Give me them lips. We're going to kiss you. And I'm going to win. That's not how it works. No. It's called Showmageddon. Show them on the computer.
Boom!
Boom, baby. Oh, it's exciting. You could tell from the lightning bolts and the explosion, the nuclear blast. Showmageddon 2018. Here's what's happening, baby. It is a stand-up showcase showdown. And what we are about is finding new and interesting quality, fun, different stand-up showcases.
Yes.
So we don't want the same 10 comics each doing 5 minutes. We don't want that. We want to do something new and unique. Like, Nick, how many classic ideas have you had for showcases?
Well, so I pitched, it's like a regular comedy showcase, except it's also like American Gladiators, so people are fighting with big Q-tips while they're trying to tell shitty jokes about their penises.
Yeah, pugil sticks. Mm. That would be a very interesting
thing. You know what
they're
fucking called?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yes, pugil sticks.
I know a guy who's got a bow staff.
I was in the military. The bow staff. Oh my God. Hey.
Okay, little too inside baseball for the crowd. Little too inside baseball for the crowd. But what we're doing is we're encouraging you. We are encouraging you to apply. If you have a new interesting show idea and you want to have it featured here at Comedy at the Carlson, we are giving away 4 Saturday night spots. Prime
that's,
time.
It's pretty kooky.
Saturday
pretty
night spots
time.
In the Rickles room. That's right, King. Prime time. It's going to be incredible. And each of these shows, the crowd is going to get a questionnaire when they buy their ticket. We're going to have some judges that are not going to talk. They're just going to watch the show.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to judge by attendance, people's satisfaction, and the judges' scores. And what's going to happen is the winner, the highest ranking of these 4 showcases, is going to get their own quarterly showcase in the Rickles room. How about that?
Wow. What?
Has anyone pitched a show idea yet where the water level is slowly rising throughout the show?
No, but I will like it.
Give you a sense of urgency to
hurry
up and get your time done.
You don't want to laugh because you're losing oxygen.
There's a laser
that's a terrible
slowly
idea.
About to cut the comic in half.
I love this idea, and I'm really
lasers.
Excited to see what people come up with for this. So you could send your submissions to... I speak properly, I swear to you people. I don't know what's wrong
it's
with me
very
today.
Early in the morning.
It's not enough coffee today for me, really. We want you to send your submissions to carlsoncast@gmail.com. What we need to know is a name for your showcase, a description, and how you plan on marketing it, how you plan on getting it out there to people. So keep an eye out for that. We're going to give you updates, and we are going to pick our top 4 showcases, and they are going to be hitting it up in the Rickles room the Saturday nights in October all the way through.
One last pitch.
Yeah.
Justin Brown, Jesse Winterhalter, we both get them blackout drunk, and they just scream at each other until one of them passes out.
So Tuesday.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not into that.
Okay, fair
I'm
enough.
Not into that. Bitcoin! My wife hates me! Oh, God, I got time for that, please.
But I forgot to mention, we also have been sneaking them MDMA, so their heart rate just gets faster and faster throughout the whole thing.
Oh, so there's a chance of someone's actual chest cavity opening.
Uh-huh. Probably all right, Jesse's.
Well,
get your sandwich board and start promoting it, Nick.
Why don't you put together a promo video on it and we'll talk.
Yeah.
So, Showmageddon 18, baby.
Boom.
Show us what you've got, huh?
Show
huh?
us.
Yeah.
Huh? It's a pun.
Is that a reference? I don't get it.
Show them again. Show us. Show.
I don't know.
You dicks. All right. Let's talk about the good stuff, shall we? How about Sapori Cafe and Catering?
Put it in me. Trying something new. Didn't like it.
You know what? Give me a classic.
Put it in me.
See, that's why he doesn't want to do it anywhere. He tried to send me a workers' comp thing. I'm like, you technically aren't employed. We don't pay you.
No.
You get nothing. Stop hurting yourself, idiot.
We hurt him because we love him.
Sapori Cafe Catering at Sapori Rochester. You can find them on Facebook and Instagram. You go there for lunch in the Powers Building Atrium, or you can have them cater your very own special event.
So they have wings now.
They do have wings now.
What?
And let me tell you something.
What?
I can't get my stuff to work today. Wow.
That's what she said.
I'm telling you, I'm a problem this afternoon. I'm trying to...
Is it your greasy fingertips?
It just might be. Sapori Cafe Catering. Let's finish this up.
Here we go.
Greater Rochester's finest all events catering, providing professional service, gourmet cuisine on your next celebration. Contact them. Find them on Facebook. There's Chef Joe's number. I wouldn't prank call him if I were you. Admin at SaporiRochester.com for an email, and Sapori-Rochester.com for information on that. And I've heard today's special is garbage plate wraps.
What? That's obscene. It's
garbage wrap.
A garbage plate wrap, baby. Let's talk about Three Heads Brewing.
Let's talk about
our other fantastic sponsor. My man Eli Flynn has been playing there on Thursday nights throughout July and killing it. Every Thursday night, they have an artist in residency doing all sorts of specialty cool shows. So check out Three Heads Brewing on Facebook to find information on that. And if you're thirsty and you're coming to Comedy at the Carlson, you might just ask what we have on tap from Three Heads, because there's always something delicious. Also available at Wegmans or wherever fine beers are sold, threeheadsbrewing.com. And last but not least...
You're so greasy!
It's the one thing. Yeah. It's the one thing that gets Brian Ball through his days. Applewood Smoked Whiskey. Well, from the good folks at IronSmokeWhiskey.com.
He's got those shakes so bad.
Not the love of my children.
It's not the love of his children's shakes. It's the liquor shakes. Handcrafted in upstate New York, available in two flavors. Like we said, Applewood Smoked Whiskey and Rattlesnake Rosie's Apple Pie Whiskey. Iron Smoke Whiskey, baby. You can also go out to their tasting room located in Fairport, New York, and have all sorts of delicious signature cocktails. Nick, back to me, baby.
Stop saying baby so much. It's weird. I don't like it. You said I've been counting.
I'm calling you baby all day because you're wearing a My Little Pony t-shirt.
So what?
Sorry, sweet tits. We won't call you baby anymore.
Thank you, Brian.
From the man who proposed the kissing contest, I'm the one who's making people uncomfortable today.
Yeah.
That's great.
What?
That's good. I'm the problem.
Uh-huh.
We're going to be back in just a few minutes with our good friend, our soon-to-be good friend, Thea Vidal. I hope so.
Predicting the future.
I really want to be Thea Vidal's friend. She's been there for everything that's happened in comedy. She really has.
Yeah.
Since the 80s boom. So I'm excited. Here she comes, Thea Vidal, after these words about who's coming to visit us at Comedy at the Carlson soon. I guess hit the upcoming promo, Nick, and let's do this thing.
Fine.
You've missed out on our awesome summer schedule. We're closing it out hot this year. Coming up next week, we have Greg Fitzsimmons, August 3rd and 4th. Rich Voss, we apologize in advance, August 19th, 9th and 11th. Jimmy Walker, August 16th through the 18th. You're not going to get me to say Dynamite. Marlon Wayans, August 23rd through 25th. We got Robert Powell III, August 30th through September 1st. Gary Goldman, September 6th through the 8th. Gilbert Godfrey, back by popular demand, September 14th and 15th. Jeremy Piven, September 21st and 22nd. And folks, you get your tickets now. They're on sale. All you got to do is get on your computer and type in carlsoncomedy.com or pick up your phone and call 585-4-COMEDY, and you could be at one of these amazing shows. Do it. Hey, everybody, don't forget to watch us live Friday mornings on Facebook Live and YouTube. And if you wouldn't mind, give us a follow on Twitter and Instagram at CarlsonCast. If you just want to listen to the show, you can check us out on iTunes, Google Play, and Spotify. And you might want to check out this little neat app that just came out. You might have heard of it. It's called Laughable.
It's pretty incredible. If you haven't seen it yet, it's a great way to connect you and your favorite comedians. And if you forgot everything I just said, visit us at carlsoncast.com.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen. We are very excited to welcome into the studio, ladies and gentlemen, Houston, Texas's own Chocolate Kiss. There she is. Thea Vidal, everybody.
I cannot believe you found that.
What do you mean I can't? What do you mean that I found that?
I mean,
that?
The internet tells too much of your business. I haven't been called Houston's Chocolate Kiss in a long time, but that's what I used to go by.
Well, I'll tell you how I saw it, very simply, on the 1989 Rodney special, Rodney's Place opening. That's how Rodney brought you on stage.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. I think it's great.
And you know what? If it wasn't for Rodney, I don't know what. It probably would have taken me longer to get where I got.
You think?
Because Rodney, he opened doors for me that I didn't even, you know, I'm just walking through. I'm not realizing everything. I'm not digesting it. And I'm not receiving it the way most people would. I'm just like doodly doodly doodly
just
doodly.
Out of yeah. just sheer like ignorance.
Just,
you don't
I'm,
know. Like,
I'm getting
how
to do
it.
I'm looking in like that. I did his sitcom pilot, and I was like, cool. I get to do a sitcom pilot. You know, I didn't. My ego didn't kick in. It didn't realize how great this opportunity was. My mindset was be humble, be humble, be humble. And other Tim and them's, Alan and Jeff Foxworthy and them, their attitude was kiss his ass, kiss his ass, kiss his ass. And I remember us going to Bally's to see him perform, and they were laughing and like almost mocking and saying, how much time do you think he can do? Greg Travis and Uncle Lair and what was Rick's last name? I can't think of it, but it'll come to me. And they were just, you know, John Fox. All of them was just kind of, you know, making fun. Like, how long do you think he can do? And all that.
In terms of, like, stage time?
Yeah, stage time. And I thought to myself, you know what? I know one thing. He's given us an opportunity. We didn't have no opportunity to give him.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
And I told him, I said, and if y'all gonna kiss his ass like this, then I can stay my fucking ass at home. Because in this hotel, because y'all are ridiculous. The way they kissed his ass was so ridiculous. Rodero. And that was Tim Allen Rodero. You know, and just, yeah, just.
He called just, Rodney Dangerfield Rodero.
Like he was just, like, just being like an ass kisser. And it's just like, that's not my lick. That's not what I do. I don't kiss ass.
And I would assume with a guy like Rodney Dangerfield, kissing ass is probably his least favorite thing. It was one of his least favorite things. Or did he really enjoy it?
I think he, when they were, you know, blowing smoke up his ass, I wasn't. And he came to me and he said, how do you think the show went? I said, Rodney, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something, not Rodney. You didn't even say nothing. You stepped on the stage and they stood up and lost their mind. I said, then after you finished saying what the hell you said, they stood up and lost their mind some more. I said, you know what, Rodney? You know you're great. You know you're a legend. And let me tell you something. I ain't going to be like the rest of them. I can't kiss your ass now because my car no do. I can't do all of that. I never was. And then one thing Rodney always said to me, he said, you are so fucking down. You're so fucking down. That's what I like about you, and I've always been down, just honest. As if I don't trust you, and that's a funny thing about me.
Yeah.
If I don't trust you, I'll do things to avoid you and avert you away from me.
Because I've been trying to do that for a long time, but yet he's still my co-host.
Yeah.
And he still keeps doing
it. You know you love him.
Yeah.
You be there's some people that you that are your friends that you can't get rid of because y'all just too
much.
Y'all like a marriage.
Yeah,
it's
we
like,
know.
I hate your ass. I hate you too. You're coming to work tomorrow, right? Okay. Yeah. You know what? I mean, I had a friend named Bo, and he was an ass, but he was a genius. He was in Mensa, and we would argue back and forth. And sometimes when we watch one of those old stations that played those old TV shows like Perry Mason,
uh-huh.
we would bicker back and forth about who Perry was fucking. Was he fucking... he was fucking Drake. You know what I'm saying? He was his private detective. Della was his fag hag. You know? Just, we would do shit like that. We would argue fiercely.
What was that dude say? Raymond Burr? Was that
Raymond Burr. Raymond Burr was a... He was very gay.
Yeah, that's the story.
And very rich. Yeah. And he had a lover of many, many years, just like Johnny Mathis. Johnny Mathis is very, very gay.
We're learning something today.
And very, very handsome.
I had not
still.
Heard the Johnny Mathis thing.
And he's got a lover. He's been with 45 years, I believe.
My great-grandma.
Mom, don't believe her. No, I'm just kidding.
My great-grandma would be very upset if she hadn't been dead for 20
years. Oh, you know, your great-grandma believed Liberace was straight.
Oh, she did. Yeah, she did. She had
and
lots
she
of Liberace
she was crazy as hell, too. Yeah. I would have shook the shit out of her and say, look here. Look here. Do she you see any pussy hanging around him? The answer to this question and many more is no. He ain't even got no girlfriend. No, he was definitely Liberace.
I took a picture with the lady once.
That's all he did was take pictures with ladies. Yeah. He wasn't with no, you know, kissing them in the mouth and stuff. And those old ladies, they really loved him. They just thought that he was the best thing because he had dresses just like them. And they just...
Well, that's what you want—a man you can borrow things
and
from.
It's just like all the jewelry and shiny and
simpler
glimmery.
Times. Yeah.
Simpler times.
Rock Hudson.
When gay people just was quiet and stayed in the closet and didn't fuck with nobody. And,
and then they
came out. You know what though? Let me tell you something. I'm glad they came out. They needed to come out. They needed to be themselves. It's hard to be in the closet. It's crowded. You got shoes and boots and stuff and all kind of coats and shit and hats. You come out the closet and be who the fuck you are and live your life because it's hard. Look, I think about all the people at Richard Chamberlain. He waited till he's 70 years old to come out. Fuck it. Ain't nobody trying to fuck you in 71. Really? Quit it. No, that's not necessarily true. He was still good looking. But, I mean, what a waste of time.
Yeah.
What a waste of time. Because, you know, I've been black for a long time. And
really?
Yeah, I was Mexican last week. But it was hard. It was hard. Work, 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 work. Hide. Work, work, work. Hide. Sneak the kids out the cage. Hide. You know, busy. I've the older you get, the more illuminating life can be.
Can we start at the beginning with you? I have a lot of questions.
Go ahead and ask.
I got a lot of questions.
Go ahead and ask.
All right.
Hang on, so, care.
Well, I want to know about the first time you ever decided to step on stage and how that even happened. Like, how did you decide that stand-up was something you ever even wanted to do?
Okay, let me tell you something. Okay, first of all, this is the part you got to get.
Okay, lay it on me.
I used to work in a restaurant in Pasadena, Texas. Now, Pasadena, Texas used to be called the Showdown, Sundown Town. Do you know what a Sundown Town is?
It's one of the ones where you stayed inside once the lights went down?
No.
No?
Vampires,
Pasadena, yes. Texas used to have a big billboard that said, nigga, don't let the sun go down on you.
That type of town.
Sundown.
Gotcha.
That kind of town. Well, they took the sign down after 60 Minutes exposed them.
Good. Progress.
Your silly ass. So anyway, my husband.
Oh, she just summed him up.
Got laid off, and there was a restaurant there that I had worked in as a teenager, Steak and Egg Kitchen. And I would be the first black that ever worked there, but they had to give me that job because I had seniority in the company.
Interesting.
And so the white people were just overjoyed. And they had parades. No. no, they didn't.
I assumed.
And
it took a national television show to get them to take the blatantly racist threatening sign down.
Yeah, you know, like, we're going to hold on this shit. You know, anyway, because we sincere. And
this isn't heritage. We mean it.
So we get up, and they get acclimated to me some kind of way. they just get used to me after we goes on. I say, and I worked the 10 to 6 out shift, and I was everybody. I was the cook, the dishwasher, the waitress, the cashier, the bouncer. I was every motherfucking body. I was all of them. I look like multiple personalities. And so the next thing I know, 10 to 6, I used to call it the lynching hour because that's shit go wrong after 10. So anyway, but these two cops used to drive by all the time. And Higginbotham, and I can't think of the other guy's name. But anyway.
Higginbotham was the guy's name?
Yeah, Higginbotham. And wow. Which was a weird name to begin with. That's why I remember
the dude
that.
Who played piano at my wedding in Alabama, his name was something Higginbotham.
Yep, that's about right. So we get up there, and they just start to warm up to me. Because I talk shit to them. I don't give a damn. I said, y'all ain't going to kill me about no eggs. So anyway, I hope not anyway. So anyway, had a gun in my purse. Anyway, a bitch ain't taking a chance. I may go, but I ain't going by myself. So anyway, one day I was acting silly. And they said, Miss Thea, you don't belong here. And I said, what the hell are you trying to say?
Because in that town, that could mean a myriad of things.
Yeah. Things, you know?
And I think you were probably also thinking, not a newsflash.
I know, right here. You know? So they said, no, no. You need to be in a comedy club. And I go, boy, I don't know what no comedy club is. Wow. They said, no, Miss Thea, really? And I said, I don't know where a comedy club is. And I don't even know how to do that. So a few days later, they took me to a comedy club. I stayed late. I changed shifts and worked 2 to 10. And they took me to a comedy club. And I went in there and I looked at it like, oh my God. And dude asked me, he said, are you going to get on stage? And I said, I don't know. I think about it. Maybe next week. Next week I'll do it. Next week I'll do it. And they said, you could get up now if you want to, Miss Thea. I go, no, I can't. I ain't got shit to say. I don't want to do it. And so the next week was my birthday.
Okay.
And I decided I would get on stage. Now, this whole week I've been writing down what the fuck I want to say. And talking about what working at a steak and egg kitchen. And I got on stage on my birthday and looked at my friends. I looked down at them, these little country people. And I talked about my life at Steak and Egg Kitchen and my children. And I never looked at the audience. I just looked at them. And the whole audience was dying laughing. And I didn't even realize it. And the owner of the club, Danny Martinez, said, I want you to come back again. And I said, okay. And I realized that I had found my niche.
Yeah.
I found my niche. And I said, they said, how did you feel? I said, I felt like,
wow,
I was at home.
Yeah.
I was at home.
Those first laughs, they really get into your bloodstream, don't they?
It's like a drug. I mean,
it really is.
I ain't done a lot of drugs, and ain't no drug ever produced that kind of euphoria. Wow. Never. Yeah. Never. And it's like, as I've gotten older, I like being on stage because I can tell people exactly how I feel. And
because the older you get, the angrier you get.
The
and
more
you just,
angry
you can,
I get.
You can let it go.
And I'm, you know, I'm very hurt by what's going on in our country. I'm very hurt by it. But I tell people the truth. And you can get mad if you want to, but you can't fight me about the truth. The truth is the fucking truth. You know what I'm saying? If you're up at 4 o'clock in the morning twittering and you married to a model, that's because she ain't fucking you, man. She ain't fucking you. If she'd suck your dick now and then, just, you wouldn't have time to be twittering.
It's just math.
It's common
just math and common
sense. How dumb can you be? You up 3, 4 in the morning twittering and your wife is asleep and ain't nobody fucking you.
If I had his bank account, I'd be on Amazon.
I'm not lying. I would be doing some shit. I ain't gonna lie. I'm like, Stormy, you feel like fucking? Because she don't want to give it up. She don't want to give it up. And imagine, imagine.
What's another 130 grand to a billionaire, really? Right?
I met Stormy. I know Stormy Daniels. That's funny.
Do you really? Well, you hosted the AVN
Porn Awards.
You're the host of the AVN Awards.
Yeah.
You went from an act about the kitchen, the egg kitchen, Steak and Egg Kitchen, to the AVN Awards.
Yeah, I just did a lot of shit real quick. Things happened in my career very, very fast, and I wasn't quite as prepared as I thought I was going to be.
You got the Rodney thing like 2 years after you started, right?
I got Rodney kind of sort of about then. Yeah.
Okay, we need to backtrack here on that because that's a big little key component here. Rodney, that special, like you said, really did a lot and opened a lot of doors for you that you didn't even know existed. How did you meet the man? Where were you?
Okay,
how did
this
that
is
happen?
What happened. I had been working on the road very early in my career. Okay. I made regular the first year, and not even the first week. I did open mic at the Comedy Store.
Okay.
In a Comedy Works in Houston. Comedy Store, the Menzels used to own it. And
it's where
Tennyson
and everybody came from.
Yeah. All where Brett Butler, all of them came from. The Texas Outlaw Comics. Okay. So I made regular after I did a guest set. I just made regular and they were just looking at me. And it was cute. I was like the lady with the four babies and it was cute.
Yeah, you were a unique voice at the time.
I was a unique voice. So then but they were still mean to me. And
who was mean to you?
The men. Mostly the men.
Really?
Yeah, they were mean. They were really mean. Black men, white men, they was all mean.
They just didn't feel like women had a place in comedy, you think?
They didn't feel like I should be there. That's how I took it as a woman. I took it, but it was just be any woman that usurped them. And I didn't give a fuck about what they said. And I didn't bow down and I didn't suck dick either.
And that probably pissed them off.
And
the
I'm
most.
Not doing none of that shit. But I will put a hole in you, though, motherfucker. I will put a hole in you. I fought men physically.
Mm-hmm.
I fought men.
I believe you.
But they didn't know that I had fought men before, that they thought that they were the first men I would fight. Oh, yeah, I'll bust you up. You keep fucking with me. I gave my husband a black eye. He sent me on to my mama with a note. You got the wrong one, bitch.
Nick, please get Miss Thea anything she wants for the rest of the show. I want to make sure we stay safe.
This is why I stay behind the desk.
I'm just saying. I'm saying to you that men in the 80s thought that comedy was their domain, and no, the fuck, it wasn't. And it wasn't going to be while I was here. No, it wasn't. And I was going to do what I wanted to do and say what I wanted to say, how I wanted to say, well, you need to be clean. You need to kiss my ass.
This is fascinating to me. And you don't have to name names, but maybe can you tell me a specific something that happened that maybe will just kind of like sum up what it was like for you there?
Okay. I went to the comedy show, not the comedy showcase, the Comedy Store, right? And that's by Westheimer.
Okay.
Back in Houston. And I went there and Sharon Menzel, who owns it, her and her husband, Paul, some of the black comics, they were men. Al Freeman was talking about me. And Rashawn McDonald, who happened to be Steve Harvey's manager a couple years ago, big millionaire now, egged him on to do it.
Now, be on stage, off stage?
Talk? On stage.
Oh,
so he's
mythic
about me. Okay. Calling me fat, calling me, and I was just like looking at Sharon like, let me get him. Let me get this fucker off me. And she's saying no. And he just keeps on and people are laughing. And I said, get him. And he called me ugly. And she said, get him. Because I'm not ugly. I don't give a fuck what nobody's saying. I'm an attractive black woman. I may be big, but
you're
I'm attractive.
You're gorgeous. Brian and, is ugly.
Hold on. So she said, get him. So it was my turn to go up on stage. And Al made the mistake of talking about me, but Al was a little ugly gnome. Al Freeman, he was an ugly little gnome. Had tiny little ears, big ass nose.
I remember Al Freeman. Big,
I don't remember Al Freeman. He looked like a little fucking, I don't know, gremlin. And not the cute one either, the gizmo. So anyway.
He looks like an intellectual that's always wrong.
He looks like a gremlin that ate after me.
It's just so the next thing, motherfucker, he gonna say that. So they introduced me and they said I got on stage. Oh, baby. When I say I fucked him up. I fucked him up till I got tired. I kept talking about his ass. I talked about him. I said, you got a face only a mama could love, and she's lying. I said, bitch, when she had you, you's a wasted fuck. You know, I just went off. I said, look at you, got beady little eyes like a ratchet little fucking vermin. I talked about this motherfucker so bad that after I got off and I got all this applause, I went in the back. Toodly doodly doodly. So now, Rashawn McDonald, he mad. I said, and his boyfriend Rashawn. I talked about Rashawn on stage too. It's like, and if I said, look at them two faggots sucking each other off.
I'm sure in Houston, Texas, that was a big,
the big insult. Yeah, that's a big XO. So
in the 80s,
you better know it. But anyway, the next thing I know, Rashawn looking at me, talking about what you looking at. I said, nothing. What you looking at? And that's when I wore that Tina Turner wig.
Uh-huh.
And he pushed me. Can you believe that? He pushed me. A grown man pushes a woman.
This is Steve Harvey's manager.
Yeah. So I pushed him back. So he pushed me again. And I pushed him down on top of another man. I say, fuck with me and see. That by chance, ooh, by chance. So he was so mad. He took my wig off and threw it in the rafters. I didn't give a fuck because my hair was slick back in a ponytail. My hair was good, and I had long hair then. So, fuck you. You took the wig. Oh, well. But your ass was on the ground, bitch, and I knocked you there. By fluke, I usually carry my gun. In my briefcase.
Let's call it divine providence that you didn't have it at this point.
And I opened that briefcase and I didn't have that gun. I said, God saved his life. He don't know it. I told him 2 months later, I said, God saved your life. Because usually I carry my gun and I didn't have my briefcase that day. I was going to shoot you because that's how I roll. I was going to kill you or at least wound you. And he looked at me and...
Are you comfortable? Do you want some more water? Can we get you anything at all? Like,
I'm just being honest with you. At that time,
would you like us to go hang your purse for a safe distance?
I was a battered wife and everything. I couldn't.
Would you like us to put your purse over there?
Yeah, maybe in the next room.
No, it's safe. I'm fine.
I know. We're just teasing
smoke.
You.
I'm not lying. Anyway, I would kill for a cigarette. But anyway, that's not the point. I had to fight these men. Flato, I had a gig to go to San Antonio or Corpus. They canceled the gig. They canceled me and gave it to Mark Wilkes because they were going to do coke and play golf together. And he said he needed the gig. I said, I have 4 kids. I needed the gig. Yeah. The things that they would do, they think now that I've forgotten. I've never forgotten. And it's not that I'm holding on to bad juju, but women need to know this was not given to them. If Marshall Warfield, me, Shirley Hemphill, and Just June and Simply Marvelous were not here toiling, it wouldn't be no Tiffany Haddish.
True story.
Okay, yeah. Real talk. And motherfuckers, they snoot their nose up at you. I don't give a fuck. Snoot your nose up. I don't give a fuck. I don't have a... Bravo. Get it. But don't forget for where it came from.
That's it.
Okay, it wasn't about 5 black female headliners in this business when I started. And to see some women act like they invented the wheel, motherfucker, no, you didn't. Before there was them, it was Mom's Mabley. You better act like you know.
Yeah.
You better act like you know. It wasn't that many black female headliners.
Not at all.
And Mom's Mabley, she the white venues that she did do were far and few between. She worked the Chitlin' Circuit. So when you see these young black females that are popular now, they came from us. They didn't come from themselves.
Sure.
And if you believe your own bullshit, then bravo, motherfucker. Believe it, believe it, believe it. But okay, I have always been myself, and that has gotten me in a lot of trouble.
You know, maybe it did, but maybe in a way, it's what moved you further down the line.
But then I never proceeded. Okay, and I was touring on the road. Right?
Yeah.
And other comics would talk and talk and talk, you know, and kind of spread like wildfire that I existed. And then what happened was, I think Rick Messina or somebody asked me to send them a tape. And so I did, you know.
Uh-huh.
I had a bad managers. And be careful with that if you're listening. Be careful with that signing papers and shit. I don't sign shit now.
I think in this day and age, in such a do-it-yourself type society that we've built, these people who are con artist managers that were prevalent in the business in the 80s and the 90s, I think they're kind of...
Dwindling out.
Because it's really like
you get found out too sweet if you're
especially
word travels way faster when everyone has a cell phone.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, there's a person I know right now. It's just like, you know, you two legs on a banana peel.
I had a guy try to sign me once. He went and saw me, and then he brought me out, and he wanted to talk to me about it. And we sat down and
leather vest cowboy hat.
Yeah. He showed up.
I remember.
He looked
guy.
Like Lemmy from Motorhead, but like really unemployed. And I didn't know him, and he was just like, I met him, and we sit down and we talk, and then he drove away in a rusty station wagon.
Talking about putting us on MTV the next week or whatever.
We're going to be on MTV next week. I was like, okay.
He's driving away in a rusty Cadillac.
Let's text everybody and let them know this guy is insane.
Yeah.
No, like, it's just like, you know, you have to remember, somebody has to have an in. You need a man that has an in.
Yeah.
Because nobody's going to let you in just because, you know.